to understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium. World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. As you watch, hear, and read the news of the day, what do you think? Are you concerned about your future, the future of your children and grandchildren, as you see all of these events portrayed live and in color on your screen? So let's ask the question, what do you think when you hear the world news? I suppose one way to describe the news is to say that the news is a reflection of what is going on in the world today. The news is, of course, reported by people in various ways. Some news stories are illustrated by on-the-scene pictures and even live coverage. The horrors of war, crime, disease, famine, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and tsunamis are often reported live and in color. The news is used for all kinds of purposes. Politicians use the news to try to convince us of their position on almost anything you want to name, from the war in Iraq to health care and any number of issues. Corporations use the news to try to sway us to view their products favorably in their position of what they're trying to accomplish favorably. Fundraisers use the news to try to get us to contribute to their causes and projects. Special interest groups use the news to try to sway public opinion. Preachers use the news to try to wake people up to the reality of the times and to consider what life is really all about. News used to be the domain of commercial news sources such as major newspapers, magazines, and broadcast networks. But now the Internet has democratized information. That means, democratized means that it's in the hands of everyday people. So that there are now thousands of news sources. This makes it much more difficult to control the news and unify public opinion on any particular topic or issue you want to name. There's hardly any issue you want to name in which there are not conflicting information with seemingly well-founded documentation. So it is very difficult for the average person to sift through this so-called documentation and new research says and so on in order to really come to a valid conclusion as to what the real truth of the matter is. But regardless of all the confusion concerning the news, it is obvious that the world is rapidly becoming more chaotic, dangerous, and violent with each passing day. Tragic events can cause people to consider the purpose of life and what they need to do in view of the things, that they're seeing and hearing, and also in view of the way things are headed. But the wake-up calls that stem from tragic events are usually short-lived. When we talk about current events and the relationship of these events to prophetic events and offer literature on prophecy, we have a greater response to our program. People want to know about the future. They want to feel like they have some kind of insight into what lies ahead. It's like they have secret information that other people don't have. But sadly, for most people, this becomes a knowledge trip instead of information that can be used to come into a closer relationship with God and their fellow man. The evangelists all around the nation, those who harp on prophecy and write books about end-time events, can create a following and either give away or sell a lot of books. And maybe a lot of people will send in offerings, money, and some may eventually even show up to their churches. People join churches oftentimes because of what they hear concerning prophetic events. They get involved based on the fact that the preacher preaches on prophecy and claims to have a hotline to God. It seems that most people do not understand the purpose of prophecy. This program is called World News and Prophecy. and we usually focus on a major news item each week. But the focus on the news item and its relationship to prophecy is not the primary purpose of the program. News events and prophecy can get someone's attention, but if that's all it doesn't amount to much. Prophecy consists of two main dimensions, forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling has to do with inspired preaching and teaching. Exegesis and exposition of what the scriptures are really saying has to do with forthtelling. In other words, forthtelling has to do with preaching and teaching the truth of God concerning the plan and purpose of God, why we're born, why we're here, where does God want us to end up? What is His purpose? What is His plan? Is there purpose in the universe? What about good and evil? Who determines what's good and evil? And so many of the great questions of the ages, that has to do with forthtelling, and these things are answered in the Bible. Now, foretelling has to do with revealing or prophesying, as some might say, what the future will be. In other words, revealing the future in advance. When it comes to foretelling the future, only God knows the future in advance. And there are even some things that God hasn't chosen to know in advance. You may think that's a very startling or controversial statement, but let's examine, let's explain. When God gave humans the prerogative of what we call free will, or perhaps better stated, freedom to choose, He introduced a degree of uncertainty in the course of future events. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know what is going to take place ultimately. But as far as every last event and every last action of every human being on earth, does He know what they're going to do in every case, in every situation, for each person? God doesn't control our thoughts. He can influence our thoughts through His Spirit and His Word. He can convict us of truth and draw us to Him. But we still have freedom to choose which way we're going to go. John 6:44 states, "No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And on the other hand, Satan can influence our thoughts and behavior if we tune in to his wavelength. The Apostle Paul writes about this influence, the influence of Satan, in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, "And you hath he quickened," in Bible terminology in King James language, means made alive. "You hath he quickened," and that's talking about in the spiritual sense, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23, not eternal punishment in hell or eternal punishing in hell, but eternal punishment in which you are cast into Gehenna fire and you're burned up. So he says, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," and that is Satan the devil, "the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." And you may say, "Oh, well, that's not me and never was." But notice what he says, "among whom also we all had our conversation or conduct in times past." That includes you and me and every person who has ever lived and ever will live except Jesus Christ. So he says, "We all had our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we have all been there, and even those who have now the Spirit of God to direct their lives have been in this state before they repented. And most of the world remains in this state, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The way of God is the way of life, whereas the way of Satan is the way of death. Even though God gives us freedom of choice, He instructs us what to choose. But He doesn't force us. We see this clearly in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live, your children, succeeding generations, that you may love the Lord your God. 1 John 5:3 defines love, for this is the love of God, that you should keep his commandments, and they are not grievous or burdensome. You should love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So freedom of choice does introduce a dimension of uncertainty with regard to specific events and acts of behavior. And even though God instructs us to choose life, to choose to go his way, he doesn't force us. The fact that God gave humans the freedom to choose accounts for much of the evil that is present in this age. And couple this with the fact that Satan and the demons are working every second to destroy us, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, and trying to make God into a liar and break his plan of salvation. Satan is the author of sin and death, but we become his instruments and agents in his hand when we choose to go his way. And one of the saddest realities of our time is that most of the people on the face of the earth don't even know they are deceived. And so many people who even think they know Jesus and say they have believed in him have not really opened the pages of the Bible to really understand God's great plan of salvation. God is working out a great master plan, and the end result will be thousands of sons and daughters brought to glory in his family and the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. Jesus Christ came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. You can read it over and over in the Gospels. Prophecy serves to instruct us in the ways of God and at the same time to warn us in advance of what is going to happen if we do not choose the way of God. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore this question about the news and prophecy. What influence should it have on your life? This week we have two very special offers for you to help you really understand the Bible and the purpose of life. One booklet titled, What is Your Destiny? And the other, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. These two booklets will help you, first of all, understand why you were born, the purpose of human existence, the great plan of salvation, and how you can get on the road, on the path to eternal life. And the other booklet will help you understand how to read prophecy and what you can expect to glean from prophecy. Prophecy is what you might call a means to an end, not the end result, as we'll see in the second segment here of our broadcast today. So, to receive these two free booklets, What is Your Destiny? Explaining the Purpose and Plan of God, and You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 888-886-5614. And we will send you the free booklets. No one will call on you. No one will follow up. But this will be, after you read this and you gain this information, it will be between you and God as to what you're going to do about it. And now back to world news and prophecy. So what about you? Do you really want to understand the future and what the future holds for you? Do you think that this is a means to an end or the end result itself? Are you caught up on a knowledge trip or a conversion trip? The Apostle Paul makes it clear that knowledge and understanding of future events, apart from becoming as God is, will profit us nothing. Let's note what Paul writes. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. He writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," the Greek word for charity is agape, which means spiritual love, that kind of love that comes from God. "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing." Thousands of people have responded to the preaching of prophecy and thought they were bound for the promised land because they had special knowledge about the future. However, we can see clearly from these passages that the gift of prophecy, the understanding of mysteries, profits us nothing if we have not charity. So what is charity? As we've already noted, charity is translated from the Greek word agape, which means spiritual love. God is love. God is charity. God is agape. So if we're not becoming as God is, nothing else profits when it comes to being in the kingdom of God. In this context, we should note what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And if a man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." So what Paul is saying here in these verses, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 8, that you can have all of these things with regard to knowledge and gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and have faith to remove mountains, but if you're not becoming as God is and God is love, then all of that profits you nothing. Now, obviously, a certain threshold of knowledge is necessary for a person to enter into the salvation process, but it is clear that knowledge alone cannot save you or me. From the Garden of Eden to the present day, various Gnostic systems have claimed to offer the path of true enlightenment and immortality. There is no telling how many people consult their so-called horoscopes every day. Do we really believe that physical matter in the heavens, inanimate matter consisting of rocks and sand, can control the course of our lives? So we come back to what is really important. As we noted from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, you can have all knowledge, have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have faith that you can remove mountains, but if you don't have charity, or stated another way, if you're not becoming as God is, all that is in vain. God is more interested in what you're becoming than in what you are doing. But because of our innate curiosity, we humans are easily thrown off track. We explore blind alleys in search of what is probably readily available in your own home, that is the Bible, the Word of God. The roadmap to salvation is plainly revealed in the pages of your Bible. That roadmap is quite simple. Jesus plainly preached the roadmap to the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, "Now after that John was put in prison," remember John the Baptist came and prepared the way for Jesus Christ. "So after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel.'" Now we want to focus on this word, repent. The Greek word for repent is metanoeo. Metanoeo is a compound word derived from meta, which means after, and noeo, derived from nous, which means knowledge. So metanoeo literally means after knowledge. Metanoeo is usually defined as to change one's mind, to turn around, to go in the opposite direction. So after knowledge, then what? After one is convicted of sin, after you're convicted of sin, that after, by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, what are you going to do with this knowledge? After knowledge, then what? Will you turn and go the other way? Will you change your mind and become converted to the way of God? So we can see here that in order to become converted, one must open the pages of their Bible and be convicted by the Spirit and Word of God. The news of the day and prophesied events can serve to get our attention that the Word of God is true and you need to stop and consider where your life is headed. But prophecy in and of itself will convert no one. Neither will knowledge in and of itself. But as we said, a certain threshold of knowledge is necessary. And when it comes to spiritual knowledge, when it comes to spiritual conviction, you have to open the pages of your Bible or hear the Word of God preached. And in conjunction with the Spirit of God, you'll become convicted of your sins. One of the greatest commands to the people of God is given in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. One of the greatest works of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. And once again, the Spirit of God, working in conjunction with the Word of God, will convict us of sin. And as I've said a few times already in this program, that you can listen to the news and it can cause you to be concerned. You may even know a great deal about Bible prophecy, but if you're not becoming as God is, it won't profit you anything. The Apostle John writes in John 16:7-8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And the Comforter is identified in John 14:28 as the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, that is the Holy Spirit, which is the essence of God. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. And that word reprove, alangio in the Greek, means to convict. Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There's no other way to really be convicted in the ultimate spiritual sense other than through the Word and the Spirit of God. The news of the day can set before us our sins. We see in 2 Timothy 3:1-7, the Apostle Paul sets out several sins, several behaviors that will be extant in this present evil age. Here's what he writes. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you really want to be criticized, just stand up for that which is right, and you'll be booed off the stage, as it were. He goes on to say, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. So today, when it comes time to observe God's immutable spiritual law, and especially that law that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we see the peoples of the world outdoing their own way, out seeking their own pleasures on God's Sabbath day. God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That means that God has placed His active presence in that day in a way in which He has not placed it in other days. Now that doesn't mean that God is not present and cannot help you on any other day, but the commandment means what it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, But everywhere you turn, you see it being profaned. He goes on to say, we'll read that again, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. Then he goes on to write in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, the peoples of the world today will say, oh, this is the 21st century. We are not stuck in that Victorian age of prudishness in which people didn't really understand what all you could do and it would be all right. We're in the 21st century now. Relax and let things go. And so we have let things go. The prophet Hosea, writing in Hosea chapter 4, describes our people similar to what Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So Hosea writes in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So we see in the world today that children are really the oppressors, as we see prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 3 and verse 12. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. You see, the priests, the men of God, have not really stood in the gap today. They have not cried aloud and spared not. They have not lifted up their voices and shown God's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. They have whitewashed things, and they have tried to gain followings just for themselves, and they have preached a gospel that is really not the gospel, because Jesus Christ said, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel means if you believe the gospel, you believe everything that Jesus taught. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But in today's world, even when the sins are laid out and very few do lay them out and call for individual and national repentance, even when that's done, we excuse the sin in the name of love and tolerance. Note how the prophet Isaiah describes our times. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The Bible defines the fear of God in Proverbs 8:13 is to hate evil. We talk about loving the sinner and hating the sin, but in today's world we're trying to have it both ways, loving the sinner and the sin. In fact, there are many who desperately want us to believe that aberrant sexual behavior and abortion and a host of other sins are not sin at all, when the Bible vividly describes the sins that are destroying the very heart and being of our people, but we turn a deaf ear to repentance. So, what about you? As you watch, hear, and read the news, hopefully it will cause you to think seriously about where the spirit of the times is leading us. And out of curiosity or concern, you may call for someone's book on prophecy, and it may help you to better understand where the world is headed. But in all of this, remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, if I'm not becoming as God is, it profits me nothing. And as Jesus said, unless you become converted and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. The choice is yours. Will you open the pages of your Bible, or will you continue to go the way of this world? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny? And You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-888-3986. 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. Rationalize away the things that are of pagan origin and substitute Christian symbols for them. You desperately need this book, so call right now, 1-888-886-5614, and be sure to be tuned to this station at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy.